Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program this morning. Hope that everything is getting off to a good start for you today, that you're looking forward to getting out and worshiping God in this first day of the week. We invite you to do that with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 9 o'clock this morning, 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. We'll be having a Bible study and then a worship assembly. And we'd love for you to come out and engage in these activities with us as we honor the God of heaven. If you can't come in person, check us out online. Our services are live streamed. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, or check out our website, eastside-church.com, eastside-church.com, and click on the Resources tab and then the Stream Our Services Live button. But again, come out and be with us today if you possibly can. We love to meet new folks, especially those who are interested in worshiping the God of heaven and studying His Word. I'd love for you to be with us today at Eastside. Well, this morning here on the program, we're going to talk about a pretty common sin that's often not recognized as a sin, but it's something that we need to be aware of, certainly if we're interested in walking the way that leads to life. And it's the sin of slander or speaking evil of others. History is just filled with people who were crucified, either literally or figuratively, by slanderous false accusations. And if you think about it, of course, that's what turned the tide of public opinion against Jesus Christ himself and got him crucified. In Matthew chapter 26, the chief priests in verse 59, the elders and the council of the Jews sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. And they were able to find some who presented that false testimony that got Christ crucified. First of all, it says that they didn't find anybody, but though many false witnesses came forward, they weren't able to get anybody. But at last, there were two false witnesses that came forward. The text tells us that said that this fellow said, "I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." So Jesus said something like that, but certainly not with the meaning that these men put upon it. But they had no interest in understanding what Jesus' words really meant. They didn't want to spread the truth that Jesus is saying that he's going to be crucified and raised from the dead again after 3 days. And he was talking about the temple of his body when he said he'd destroy the temple and raise it again in 3 days. These people didn't want to share the truth that Jesus was speaking. They wanted to slander him. They wanted to say some things about him that people would construe to be very terrible. Well, this man's going to destroy the physical temple here. He's going to tear down the temple of God. And they wanted to leave that impression. And that's exactly what they did. And so they turned the tide of public opinion against Christ by slander. It is then almost unfathomable that people who call themselves Christians today would perpetuate that kind of behavior. But it happens more often than we would care to admit. In an article entitled "Lay Aside the Weight of Slander," a man by the name of John Bloom writes that sometimes we pass along slanderous information that seems almost like harmless hearsay, yet the effect of it on our listeners is to leave them with an unfairly negative perception of another. Sometimes we embellish with information or tone a negative report about someone in order to enhance our listeners' perception of ourselves. Sometimes we have a very real concern about someone, but we share it with someone who cannot benefit from or help with the concern. We do this because we simply want our listeners to think worse of a particular person. Let me stop here, and I'm again still quoting from John Bloom, but how many of us is that true of? How many times have we ourselves been guilty of that? Before we get done this morning, I think we should examine ourselves relative to this problem of slander, of speaking evil about others for the purpose of tearing them down, for the purpose of hurting somebody's reputation or making ourselves look better. He goes on to talk about sometimes we share a concern with an appropriate person, so we're concerned about somebody and we might talk about that person to another person, but we can sometimes indulge our speculations or presumptions, mixing them in almost imperceptibly with facts for our listeners, distorting the concern in order to sway an outcome in the direction that we desire. What he's talking about there, of course, is that we share maybe some facts about somebody else that concern us with somebody who has a real interest in that, but then we embellish things and we put our speculations and perceptions about what somebody has done into the mix as well, for the very purpose of painting a bad picture of the person that we're describing. All of that is evil speaking. It is slander. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4 that evil surmisings or evil suspicions are sin. When we just think badly about somebody and then share that with others to tear them down, that's a sinful thing. Most of the time, we probably don't even realize that we're committing the sin of slander. But it's the same sin that crucified Jesus. And I believe we need to spend some time this morning thinking about the seriousness of this sin, what we can do about it in our lives to stop it if we're engaged in it, and to recognize it in the world that surrounds us. If we want to see good days, we need to be careful not to slander. Slander brings evil into the world. It causes pain in others' lives and will cause pain in our own lives if we engage in it. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Peter says that he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So to do this, to keep our tongue from speaking evil about others, to do this, we must first be able to recognize slander in ourselves. So how do we do that? How do we recognize the sin of slander? What is it, first of all? And then we'll be talking about that from Scripture, but also looking at some examples of slander. In James chapter 4 and verse 11, what slander really is described, I think, very well by James in this section of Scripture. What it really is putting ourselves in the position of the judge. James says in James 4 and verse 11, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren." One translation says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" The word that James uses here, which is translated evil, literally means to speak against somebody. It can describe literal slander, which is falsely spreading lies about someone else, or it can refer to saying something true, but in a harsh or unkind way. All of that is sinful. James is telling us not to do it. And when we do it, we are putting ourselves in the position of Jesus Christ, who is the judge. I heard a story some time ago about a woman and her grandmother who were sitting on their porch discussing a member of the family who was ne'er-do-well, not a very good person. And the young woman said to her grandmother, she said, "Well, he's just no good. He's completely untrustworthy, not to mention lazy." The grandmother responds, "Yes, yes, he's bad." But as she rocked back and forth in her rocker, she said, "But Jesus loves him." The younger woman said, "I'm not too sure about that." But the grandmother said, oh yes, Jesus loves him." And she rocked in a rocking chair and she thought for a few more minutes and then she added, "Of course, Jesus doesn't know him like we do." Now, as funny as that may seem, it's a sad reality that is what we're thinking in ourselves when we slander others. We think, well, we know this person better than Jesus does, and we're ready then to condemn him or say bad things about him or her because we know so much about the person and about right and wrong, and we put ourselves in Jesus' place. The truth is that Jesus knows people better than we do, and he does still love them, and Jesus is the judge. It's not our place. Our job is to love others and help them overcome their sins, not ridicule them or tear them down in the eyes of others. When anyone quotes Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, where Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged," a lot of us are quick to argue that Jesus will later say, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." I think those two verses need to be kept together in our minds. Jesus is not telling us that we're never to judge anybody in any circumstance, But he is telling us to judge with righteous judgment. Again, John 7:24. Matthew 7, the main concern that Jesus has there when he says, judge not that ye be not judged, is he doesn't want us to judge hypocritically. And the text explains that actually. In Matthew chapter 7, we're told there's some kind of judging that we do need to do, but don't judge hypocritically, especially when we ourselves are guilty of the same kinds of things that we're pointing out in others. We need to judge righteous judgment. But someone who slanders will then proceed, after having said that, to judge by appearance and with unrighteous judgment, treating suspicion as fact, treating things that look a certain way as if that's the way it must be. If we're going to judge with righteous judgment, we must not judge according to appearance. We must not judge according to our suspicions. And when we judge in that way, we can easily become guilty of slander. So slander is putting ourselves in the place of Christ, who is the judge, and presuming and assuming things that may or may not be true. Putting ourselves in the place of the judge may explain why slander is often in Scripture associated with a lack of humility. It is the person who is proud who becomes guilty of evil suspicions. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 4, where evil suspicions are condemned, Paul is describing an individual who is a false teacher and a troublemaker in the church, and he says that he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, and evil suspicions. Those evil thoughts and evil words come out of a person who is filled with pride. He puts himself even above Jesus. And that's James' point back in James chapter 4. Jesus is the judge. We need to let him be the judge and not put ourselves in his place. We are, according to what Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, we are to speak evil of no one, but to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Can we do that? Can we show all humility to all men? Are we afraid to be humble in our interactions with some people? Paul says, let's show all humility to all men and to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable and gentle with everyone. That is what Christians are supposed to do. They're supposed to do it in their day-to-day interactions with folks. They're supposed to do it on social media. They're supposed to do it at work and at play, and even when watching college football. Yeah, it's really easy to say negative things about the other team, sometimes about your team, about their coach, about your coach, about the referees. It's easy, really easy to judge folks and say awful things in that kind of context, because we think we have the right to do that, but we don't. We're to speak evil of no one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul is planning to visit the Corinthian church. He's been there before. He wants to come see them again, but he's really concerned about the kind of attitudes that some of these people have exhibited. And he says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, but that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults. What Paul is saying is, I'm afraid that when I get there, you're not going to be what I want you to be, and then I'm not going to be what you want me to be either, because I'm going to have to get on you. I'm going to have to get on you for the kinds of behaviors that we're talking about in this lesson this morning. Selfish ambitions, pride, backbiting, whispering, talking about other people in negative ways, causing problems, causing a stir, and saying negative things about others that are unwarranted. Slander is a terrible sin. Paul didn't want to see it. The Lord doesn't want to see it in his people. It puts us in the place of Christ as judge. It indicates that we're prideful instead of humble, and that we are not really concerned about the well-being of those that we're talking about in negative ways. Slander does a lot of damage. It goes viral. It goes viral sometimes on the internet, but whether or not it's on the internet or not, it can be viral. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8, long before there was an internet, the wise man said that the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles they go down into the inmost body. You know, people just love to hear something negative about somebody else, and they take that in and then they share it with others. And negative things get spread around really quickly, whether they're true or not. Slanderous words, things that tear down other people, things that make others look bad. This is exactly what the wise man's talking about here in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8. That gets around really quickly and can cause a lot of damage, can cause strife, destroy relationships. In Proverbs 16 and verse 28, there the wise man says that a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. When you tear down others, say negative things about others, you're just stirring up trouble. When you spread rumors about others, you can separate even the closest of friends by that kind of activity. In Proverbs 26 and verse 20, it says that where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. So if you don't have people spreading these negative rumors all the time and the slander about folks, if you don't have that, a lot of strife would go away. I think we would find in our nation that if we just quit spreading these negative rumors and false accusations and character assassinations, we just quit spreading that kind of stuff about people either in the political realm, on social media, wherever it might be, that we'd be a lot more at peace. We wouldn't have the acrimony and the division that we have in our country if we just stop this kind of behavior. It's destroying us as a nation. It destroys churches as well. It destroys families and homes. It can mess up a workplace. This is the kind of thing that if we're serious about walking the way that leads to life, we need to get it out of our lives and curtail it in our culture as much as possible. But slander not only can go viral very quickly and cause a lot of problems, it crushes people. It crushes those who are the objects of the slander. In Proverbs 25 and verse 18, there the wise man says that a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. I mean, if you're telling lies about another person or slandering another person and just saying evil things about them, it hurts them. It's like beating them with a club, slashing them with a sword, piercing them with an arrow. It's painful, and it causes pain in people's lives, often unnecessarily and unjustifiably. In Proverbs 26 and verse 28, it says that a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. It hates those who are crushed by it. You realize what we're saying here is that if we engage in slander, if we tell lies and half-truths about others that shame them or defame them or cause them harm or pain, that we are hating them. We are hating them. I don't think anybody who is or claims to be a Christian thinks that hating folks is a good thing or something that Christians should be doing. And the thing is, through slander, we hate folks, we're demonstrating that, and the damage that we do to them is often irreparable. Lives and reputations are just absolutely ruined. When we're slandering folks and we're saying evil things about others, we're putting out a lot of really bad seed. And sort of to use an illustration from Hosea chapter 8, we're sowing the wind and we're going to reap the whirlwind. A lot of bad stuff is going to happen, come from the bad seed that we're sowing. When you take away someone's good name or reputation, you steal from them one of the most precious things they have. It's a horrible thing for a person who calls himself a Christian to engage in. Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is really valuable. When you set about to destroy somebody else's good name, slandering them and speaking evil of them, you've taken away one of the most valuable things they have. The Lord has a dim view of those who slander. He regards the one who slanders as a fool. Proverbs 10 and verse 18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Now the word fool, as it's used in the book of Proverbs particularly, doesn't necessarily mean someone who doesn't have any sense, but it is referring to someone who doesn't have any moral sense. They lack moral understanding. They lack an understanding of what's right and wrong, and they lack an understanding of their need to please God in the choices that they make about what's right and wrong. So here's a person who slanders, and God says that person is a fool. They lack any kind of moral understanding. You don't want to be a fool in God's eyes. But that's what you are when you commit slander. God has, from ancient times, way back in the Old Testament, forbidden slander among his people. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, the commandment was, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Just not to do that. In Exodus 23 and verse 1, do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, you shall not go as a talebearer among your people. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, the English Standard Version there says. So all of these passages among God's people in ancient times, his law to the Israelites was, don't give false testimony against a neighbor. Don't spread false reports. Don't be malicious in what you say about others. Don't go around spreading tales and stories, and do not go around as a slanderer. In the New Testament, God's prohibitions against slander are equally plain. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul says there, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So all of the evil speaking that characterizes slander must be put away from us. We've seen previously in passages like James chapter 4, where God forbade slander among his people. And the Bible tells us that God deems slander worthy of the harshest punishment. It's a sin, and like all sin, it's worthy of punishment. God gives no quarter to the slanderer. In Psalm 101 and verse 5, the text says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. God's not going to put up with it. He knows that slander comes out of pride. He hates pride. He's not going to put up with slander. In Psalm 140 and verse 11, the Bible says, let not a slanderer be established on the earth. And in Psalm 50 and verse 19, here the psalmist says, you give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. This passage particularly is really straightforward about how God feels concerning slander and those who engage in slander. It may seem like he's letting you get by with it and it's not that big a deal to him, but the Lord is assuring us in this passage that it is a big deal to him, and he will rebuke and punish those who engage in slander. It may be that we think we can speak evil against family, we can speak evil against even our own brothers, and God's going to turn his eye to that, but that's not the case. That's not the case. We need to be careful how we talk about others, because God is watching, and he cares about it. Those who eagerly listen to and heed slander, we should hasten to say, are just as bad as those who engage in slander itself. It's one of the things we really need to be careful of as well in the culture in which we're living, because there is an awful lot of evil speaking and slander in our culture. And there are a lot of people who are consuming that in social media and in other places. And the reason that there's so much slander, in one sense, is because people like it and people eat it up. And folks can get a lot of clicks on their social media pages because people want to hear the slander and read the libel that those pages contain. Proverbs 17 and verse 4 says that an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. Let's not eagerly listen to spiteful tongues, to those who slander. Slander is, as we've been saying, it's a terrible but often unrecognized sin. It hurts others, and it's an offense to the God of heaven. So what should we do about it? Well, we need to examine ourselves, every last one of us. If we're serious about it, we need to maybe ask friends and relatives if we're engaging in it. Have they heard us saying things that are slanderous about others? Because we might not recognize it ourselves. Maybe the next time you have a conversation, try listening more to what you're saying. You might be surprised. Maybe you should go back and review what you've said about others. Maybe you should go back over your social media posts to examine not what others have said, but what you have said. Think about your recent face-to-face conversations you've had with others. Think of the last times that you've said something about someone else to another person. Would you be willing to say that to the person's face? Those are some of the ways that we can examine ourselves in this area. We need to try to recognize slander in our own speech. In James chapter 4, where James said, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren," James was not addressing a hypothetical situation. Nor was Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 when he said that we're to lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. We're to put all of that aside. Peter and James were combating a very real problem in the world that was affecting and infecting the lives of Christians. And it still is. In his book, Respectable Sins, a man by the name of Jerry Bridges identifies expressions of slander that are particularly common today. And though these certainly don't constitute all or the full extent of slander, I think we'd do well to familiarize ourselves with a couple of things that he mentions so that we can guard against committing slander ourselves. He says, first of all, we're guilty of slander when we report negatively on another person's point of view without fully understanding it. It's a sore temptation to take a sound bite and pass it along without investigating whether it represents a genuine expression of someone's convictions. In a social media age, we are quick to jump to conclusions, but when we speak without knowing, we indict ourselves as slanderers. I believe he's right about that. You might remember that Jesus was slandered against by those witnesses who were saying things that were just a soundbite of something Jesus had said without really understanding it or trying to explain it in the way that Jesus intended it. That was slander. That's what got Jesus crucified. The second thing that Mr. Bridges writes concerning identifying slander, he says that we are guilty of slander when we act as if we know the motives of people and then question those motives. We say things like, "Oh, the only reason she's helping is because whatever." We say things like, "Well, the only reason he's saying that is because of so-and-so." The truth is that we don't know the motives of people's hearts, and we should not speak as if we do. That's what James is addressing, this form of slander, when he says, "Who are you to judge your neighbor?" If we are guilty of slander, folks, and we may well be, we need to admit it to ourselves, to confess it, and to stop it. The psalmist says in Psalm 32 and verse 5 about dealing with his sins, he says, "I acknowledge my sin to you, my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." In order to overcome any sin, we have to recognize it. People who deny that they're sick won't ever get well. You have to understand the sin sickness of your life, right, before you'll go to Jesus, the great physician, for the cure. Jesus said, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He wants us to recognize our sins so that he can help us overcome them and he can forgive us. Walking the way that leads to life means walking the way that Jesus wants us to walk and speaking the things that Jesus wants us to say. Jesus does not want us to engage in slander. He does not want us to lie about people, tear people down, say things that hurt people. He wants us to speak the truth as we walk the way that leads to life.